on Spotify. Calicoon Porch Fest, live music September 25th and 26th. Paid for by I Love Calicoon Inc.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from the Women's Health Center in Honesdale, Hamlin, Waymart, Carbondale, and Lords Valley in Pennsylvania. Physicians and certified midwives who deliver. The Women's Health Center is a Wayne Memorial Community Health Center. WMH.org. From Sullivan Renaissance, a community beautification initiative of the Geary Foundation, dedicated to empowering volunteers to build beautiful, active communities in Sullivan County for over 20 years. SullivanRenaissance.org.
Okay, welcome, and once again, it's time for the local edition, local news and information that keeps you connected in the Catskills in Northeast Pennsylvania. I'm your host, Jason Dole. And it's Wednesday here on the local edition, and on Wednesdays we check in with James B. Huntington for the latest on jobs and the economy around our area, around the country. It's Work Shift Live that's coming up in the second half of the program. And we do have the latest employment numbers for the Radio Catskill listening area. Again, that's coming up in the second half of the program right now. The first half of what we do on Wednesdays is we always go to the River Reporter's own Liam Mayo to find out the latest news on both sides of the river. Hello, Liam. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you, Jason?
Good, good. So I know you're on top of the news, and that's why we've got you here. What can you tell us about the state of COVID, at least in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania?
Right. So there have been rising COVID numbers nationally, but specifically in Pennsylvania and in Wayne County over the most recent period. Wayne County Health Department has confirming over like 30 new cases per day with a high of 41 cases on September 7. And that's starting to put a lot of pressure on the Wayne County hospital system. Wayne Memorial Health System is seeing a lot of excess COVID patients, most of them being unvaccinated individuals. The director of patient care services, James Paginato, said that most of the people who come in and need to be hospitalized for COVID are unvaccinated, and even if someone who is vaccinated catches COVID and comes in, their stay in the hospital is less long and they require much less medical attention. And because of all these COVID cases, the hospital has had to sort of cut back on some of the other things they've been doing, or some of the elective surgeries or some of the less important medical procedures. So it's rising COVID cases that is just also putting stress on the healthcare that is being offered in other areas.
And you know, we're talking about a rural area where there's minimal services spread out among a maximal area, meaning Wayne Memorial, for example, is also the primary health care hospital, the major hospital that also serves Pike County as well.
Right. So if they're having difficulties with seeing people both from like COVID and Paginato also mentioned that they're having staffing difficulties sort of in line with what the rest of the economy is seeing. So the more stress that is put on them, the less they can provide for the people in both Wayne and Pike County.
Yeah. And then, you know, there's new mandates, at least here in New York State, you know, with a new governor in the middle of the year, came new COVID mandates. Governor Hochul saying that she wants to really get a handle on New York State's COVID. What are some reactions that you're hearing out there to state mandates? And then, of course, there's the national mandates as well that, of course, across the country, hearing a lot of people complain about those.
There have started to be some pushbacks on the local level or on the regional level against these statewide mandates. Senator Mike Martucci on the New York side has started a petition pushing back against the child care mandate specifically. One of the mandates that Governor Hochul instituted was a mandate on masks in child care facilities for everyone 2 and up. And Martucci has the position that trying to force a toddler to wear a mask is both not great for the kids, but also just impractical to actually enforce. So it takes away from teachers having to spend time on actual instruction if they have to also make sure these kids are wearing masks. So he's trying to push back on that, and he says that Governor Cuomo tried to institute something similar, and that was pushed back on earlier in the pandemic. So it's sort of a repeat of that same pushback. And there's something similar going on over on the Pennsylvania side with the not quite so recent, but when a while back, Governor Wolf and the health department instituted a mask mandate for Pennsylvania schools. A lot of school districts, as well as Senate Republicans, including Senator Lisa Baker, are pushing back against those mandates and saying that the governor and the health department are sort of overstepping, that school districts across the state have made these decisions for themselves, and they've had the discussions and they've weighed checks and balances, and to have the government come in and impose this top-down mandate just undoes all of that work and essentially takes away a lot of individual freedoms.
And these mandates from on both sides of the river in Pennsylvania and New York State, I mean, like you said, in Pennsylvania, there's a Department of Health. I assume that Governor Hochul in New York is also doing this in conjunction with the Department of Health. I mean, these things are informed by medical advice, right?
Yeah, and that's sort of the weird part about all this pushback, where I don't think anyone's saying, or at least I haven't seen anyone saying, that masking is a negative health impact, or that being masked can protect against COVID, or even that COVID is a danger. These aren't coming from places that deny the dangers of the pandemic. It's all very tangential things, like school districts have the right to decide for themselves what to do, or toddlers can't effectively be forced to wear masks. So,
well, you don't have to endorse what I'm about to say, but I would just like to say it sounds to me like it's people that feel like they need to push back against something. It's like, you got to be something in here. We got to protest. So let's just go out there and protest, even though when we talk about like the medical side of it, nobody's really articulating any major medical claims. And in those parts of the country where people are, you know, we've seen that they're dubious, at least in terms of, you know, there was people out there claiming that masks do this type of damage or that type of damage to people, which has been, widely debunked by actual doctors. So, I mean, it's, you know, people have got to say what they've got to say. People got their opinions, and I don't know why I'm bringing mine up now here, but I'm just saying it sounds to me like it's just people looking for something to fight against because a medical situation has become politicized. So now everything's got to have a political response, whatever side you're on. But maybe I'm being reductive about it.
I don't think you're being too reductive about it. I think there's definitely a sense of just general watching against government overstepping and government mandates. In to just make sure that, hey, are all these things being done properly? Is the sort of system of checks and balances still in place? Which I don't think is necessarily a bad thing, but focusing on that when we're in the middle of a pandemic and sort of prioritizing that
right
above massively life-saving measures, it does feel a little bit like they're focusing on
At the very least, it's beside the point, and that's why your very accurate use of the word tangential earlier, like that's what this is feeling like. On the topic, though, of like you're saying, of like keeping an eye on what government is doing and there being a balance between what people want government to do and what it is doing and people's feedback on that, were you keeping an eye on the Sullivan County legislative meeting? What happened last week?
Yeah, so there was a lot of discussion around health, but in sort of, again, tangentially related to the pandemic metrics. The director of community services for the county, Melissa Stickle, gave a presentation on the pandemic and mental health, offering just nationwide statistics about how mental health has declined during the pandemic. There was a household pulse survey from the U.S. Census Bureau this year that found that almost 28% of adult respondents experienced symptoms of anxiety and 22.6% experienced symptoms of depression, whereas in 2019, the rate was 8.1% and 6.5%, respectively. So the pandemic has had a lot of negative physical health impacts, even mostly for people who catch COVID, but even if for people who don't catch COVID, the fear and uncertainty and the isolation of the times are taking their toll.
Yeah.
That could be a longer...
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just going to say, were those numbers... I apologize that I missed this. Were those numbers local numbers, or that's the national trend?
That was the national trend.
Right. Because we've been hearing about this, but now we've got somebody local that's talking about this having an impact here.
Yeah. And in other lower, in other county-specific stuff, there was a public comment from Lisa Kennedy, who worked for public health for the county for a while back, talking about the health rankings and how, according to the Mid-Hudson Region Community Health Assessment, Sullivan is fairly low down on a lot of those rankings. The highest rate of emergency department visits, highest rate of people who think their quality of life is poor, lowest rate of lead screening. And she's sort of criticizing the legislature for not paying attention to those health rankings in ways that they have done in years prior. Apparently those rankings have been hugely significant to legislators past or to years past, but they're not really being discussed as much right now. And when we're in the middle of a pandemic and when health should be sort of one of the foremost things people are paying attention to, it's, she was saying, been left a little bit by the wayside.
From what you could see, did any of this land with the legislators?
Not that I know of, but okay. That's the sort of thing where they'll probably take it into consideration, and if there are impacts, we'll see those much further down the line.
It does seem like we've moved into this phase, though, of ongoing dialogue, or at least ongoing feedback from the community to the Sullivan County Legislature, specifically about healthcare concerns. So it'll be interesting to see if that feedback becomes a dialogue and start seeing how the legislature as a whole or individual legislators start responding to that. That's what I'll be keeping an eye on. Talking about keeping an eye on things, Liam, there's a new edition of the River Reporter out tomorrow. What can we expect?
We got a great set of articles this week. Longtime River reporter Owen Walsh, who is, I believe, also on this program extensively, is back writing freelance a little bit. So you can see his articles in starting this edition of the River Reporter.
Oh, so. Well, that's cool. So that's something to keep an eye out for. All right. Well, Liam, I want to thank you again for joining us and keeping us on top of what's going on out there. And, of course, I'll remind listeners to keep in mind that they'll be able to hear you doing the headlines this weekend. And you'll be back with us live next week for another news roundup. Liam Mayo from the River Reporter, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Good luck. This is a local edition, local news, information, keeping you connected in the Catskills, Northeast Pennsylvania. We return. It's Work Shift Live. Stay tuned here to Radio Catskill.
Join me, Staff Sergeant Sandberg, for our next edition of Let's Talk Vets. Of all the interviews we do, the ones I like the best are conversations with the vets themselves. We'll chat with Tom Brennan, Vietnam vet, avid golfer, author, community volunteer, about his experiences and his writing. And Dawn Shaw will be by with the latest updates from the Hudson Valley VA healthcare system. That's Wednesday, 7 p.m., right here on Radio Catskill, WJFF.
You're listening to Radio Catskill.
And now on the local edition, it's time for the latest on jobs and the economy around our listening area and around the country. And for that, we turn to James B. Huntington for Work Shift Live. Hello, James.
Good evening, Jason. Good evening, listeners. What a way to make a living,
getting by. Well, it's good to be back for Work Shift Live here, James. I think let's start with, it sounds like you got some new numbers on where unemployment stands right here in our listening area. So what have you heard?
Yes, these are from July, so they're a month older than the general numbers. But unemployment in our listening area is Sullivan 5.2%, Orange 5.3%, Ulster 5.2%, Pike 7.7%, and Wayne 6.2%. Compare all of those with the national unadjusted rate, and these numbers are unadjusted of 5.7%. We have the three New York counties doing better and the two Pennsylvania counties doing worse.
Now, in general, we've gone over these numbers, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems to me the general trend would be that the whole listening area tends to be a bit behind the national numbers.
It fluctuates. Sometimes it's a little better, sometimes it's a little worse. Actually, for several months, so the data I've seen, probably three or four sets of data in the past 6 months, the three New York counties have been better, and the two Pennsylvania counties have been worse. So it's staying very much the same, but apparently we are doing well, relatively well, in New York State, not to mention that these unemployment rates, a little over 5%, are not bad even without a pandemic.
Now, the information you're looking at may not have an explanation for this, but I'm wondering what you're thinking might be a cause of that. I mean, is it due to the difference of population in those particular counties? Is it due to differences in industries or where the counties typically employ people?
Yes, just generally better economic times. More businesses are open. More businesses are hiring. There's more room for workers. In the New York counties, the Pennsylvania ones have often been lacking anything resembling large employees, which we even have with the hospitals and such in Sullivan County. The population of the Pennsylvania ones are smaller than any of the New York ones, but otherwise doesn't have much to do, at least within New York State, of population. It's just a combination of what's working well and people still able to get jobs.
Right. All right. Well, and then the other thing that I know you're always keeping an eye on is where we stand with the pandemic, because where we stand with the pandemic and it will impact where we stand with employment and the economy. So what's the latest? How have the last 2 weeks been pandemic wise?
Yes. Looking nationally, we have the cases have a daily average of 134,000 new ones. That's down 12% from 2 weeks ago. That does seem to be coming down from our peak a while ago. We have 91,000 and some are currently hospitalized. That's 9% down from 2 months ago. But the bad news is on deaths, which seem to keep climbing and climbing, and we're getting 2,000 people dying, over 2,000 every day, and that's a 36% gain over the 14 days. So if you're thinking that the new cases are milder, that's turning out to be absolutely wrong. And we're now at 678,000 Americans since the beginning of the outbreak have died.
Wow. And that 2,000 a day, that's a national number that
you're
looking
at. Yes, that's for the entire country. Now, I have a few numbers on how many new cases we're getting in our listening area, and we have Sullivan getting 29 new cases per 100,000 of population every day. That's actually 22 actual cases. Then Orange is 28 per 100,000. Ulster is 25 per 100,000. Wayne is 38 per 100,000, and then Pike is 31. So Pennsylvania counties are lagging here also.
Right. And, you know, again, population and other factors. So how does our region compare to the national average that you were just talking about then?
Oh, generally, significantly better. Right. And if you look at a map, the hot spots around the country have changed. They used to be in the southeast, the former Confederate states, and now we're seeing it in the border states from Kentucky, West Virginia, Southern Ohio, and also the mountain northwest, Wyoming, Montana, Nevada, the desert of Oregon, places like that. So, well, what's happening is the virus covers, gets enough people so that there are not a lot of opportunities for it to get more. So it comes down in places like the Mississippi Delta Valley was one of the worst, and now it's doing really about the same, maybe a little bit worse than we are. But overall, the Northeast, really anything from New York and New England, has been the best area of the country, having the lowest. So
yeah,
that is helped by we have better attitudes in general than most of the country as far as masking, social distancing, and getting vaccinated. But it's hardly any assurance that we won't get it. 22 new cases a day for Sullivan County is a lot.
Yeah. Okay, and then back on to the question of employment in the workplace. On COVID, additional safety rules for New York State employers, what's up with that?
Yes, we have some rules coming out. Things are going to be required for workplaces throughout the state. This sort of happened when we changed governors. This started. We have what all employees can expect is, first of all, a stay-at-home policy that acknowledges that if a worker gets the symptoms of COVID, the employee should not be in the workplace. Employees should be wearing face coverings at work to, as they say, the greatest extent possible. Likewise, physical distancing. Employees will be screened for symptoms at the beginning of their shift. They may at least be asked if they have any symptoms. You have to have special accommodations for people who may have higher rates of getting the virus, age, health condition, other things. And we have employers are allowed to require personal protective equipment, not only masks, but things like eye protection, respirators, gloves, such things other than masks that slow down the chance of getting infected. They can do that. They can require that people wear them, but the employers themselves have to provide them. It's not going to be something like go out and buy some eye shields. We will have them for you.
Do you have any indication how employers are reacting to these new guidelines, or for that matter, how employees are reacting?
Haven't heard much either way, which means that nobody is really super grouchy about it. You have employers required to provide equipment that workers need to do their jobs, which in this case is COVID protective equipment. So that's reasonable. It doesn't seem unusually onerous or what have you. And the employees, well, it's, again, New York is so much above average, or has been over the past year, for number of cases and such. It's not a real case of anger. I'm not perceiving that there's anything like this. It's
right.
Nothing like what the requirements that Biden came up with, where all kinds of people are getting very angry.
Yeah, and of course, if there is a reaction, you're going to hear the angry reaction first. So not hearing that's a good indicator. There's not a whole lot of reaction overall. Are we going to get that 4-day work week or what?
Well, we might. It's getting more and more common. It's getting scattered. It's sort of haphazard, but a lot of companies are starting to offer that. It may be a response to workers being grouchy about expecting to come back into the office where they've been so happy at home. They're saying, well, we'll make it up to you by only requiring you to work 4 days. But some companies are saying, well, you can work 32 hours, work 4/5 of your previous job, and that's fine. Other companies are saying, well, you still have to put in 40, but you can concentrate it in 4 days with no problems here. It's unclear. I mean, anyone who is applying to a company that has four-day work weeks, if you get into interviews or such, you should be asking what exactly that means.
Yes.
We also have another a funny thing that I'm not really seeing on this, and that is that so many companies in offices are de facto requiring people to work well over 40 hours a week. So if they go to four, what does that mean? Does that mean you have to put in 12 hours a day for 4 days? Or it's going to force them to confront the differences between what workers are officially required to do and what they're being persuaded, cajoled, intimidated into doing. So it's unknown. This is a start of something. I think there will be four-day work weeks in a lot of places, not universally, but there have already been companies that really sort of have 4.5-day work weeks that don't really expect you to be there Friday afternoon. I mean, that can either be official or unofficial, but this is not necessarily a huge change, but it will be if they reach standards as far as how many hours it does have and how many problems people will have to overcome, such as working much more than 8 hours someday, how they react to that. They may be quite unhappy if it turns out they have to be there 7 to 7 Monday through Thursday, and that's not much fun, before they could skip out or whatever and a lot of time on Fridays without that being minded. So this is very much a work in progress, something that probably will continue, but there's no standard at all for it right now.
And it's coming in the midst of all these other changes to the workforce. I mean, how many articles have you seen over the last 5 years, 10 years, about how the length of hours that people are working, as you just mentioned, also the way that people are more and more connected to their jobs, not, you know, they're taking their jobs home even when they're not stuck at home with the connectivity.
Yeah, so that's been a big problem with people required to stay in touch, especially through emails. There have been some controversy, some unhappy employees who are seeing their employers put together things like volleyball courts in the offices and providing food for lunch and such, all really transparently designed to get them to be in the office more. But what their workers would really like is to have an email silence, say, from Saturday morning through Sunday night.
Yeah, because, like, what's the point of 3 days off if you're going to be on call that whole time, even if you
don't... That's true, and if everybody is sort of on call. I know there are a lot of jobs where people are required to be on 24-hour or some other on-call.
Yeah, it's kind of becoming the norm for everybody in some ways.
Really in danger of becoming the norm, so how these things will fall out, we'll see. I'll keep track of it and reporting on it. But for now, we don't know.
Absolutely. Well, that's why we're going to keep coming back and talking to you as you continue to keep your eye on the future of jobs and the economy around here and around the country. James B. Huntington, thank you for joining us for Work Shift Live.
Thank you, Jason, and thank you, listeners.
Working.
Okay, well, that's going to do it for this edition of the Local Edition. I want to thank James B. Huntington for joining us again, and I want to thank Liam Mayo as well. And as always, I want to thank Patricio Rubio for helping produce the program, as well as Meg Duff. And I want to thank you for listening. I want you to come back tomorrow evening at this time to join us again, Monday through Friday, 6:30, right here on Radio Catskill, this daily program we call Local Edition. Stay tuned. Let's Talk Vets is coming up right next.
Support comes from Rourke Law, Liberty, New York, a general law practice serving the Catskills and Delaware River Valley with an emphasis on estate planning, estate administration, elder law, and real property matters. RourkeLaw.com. From The Orange Sullivan Walk to End Alzheimer's, October 9th. Walk in person or walk from home. Registration information at orangesullivanwalk.org. And from listeners like you.
Hey, all you music lovers out there. This is Thane Peterson, host of WJFF's Living Jazz Show. Every Friday from noon to 2, I bring you the very best of the current jazz scene with a little bit of classic jazz thrown into the mix.